Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast for all things nerd. I am the only person in person today because of quarantine, Sean, but I am on Skype with whoever wants to take it first.
Skype Sam.
The COVID kid, John.
As always, Dr. Chris.
All right. Well, like I said, we're basically all in quarantine. Some of us aren't forced to be in quarantine. Some of us might be.
I'm forced.
Yeah, you're forced. Yeah. Sam and I definitely are. John, are you in? You're not in forced quarantine yet.
Nah, dude. Fuck the police.
He's a spring breaker. He's on spring break right now, causing trouble in the Bahamas.
You know what? If he gets corona, he gets corona.
I like to point out he said that with a velour tracksuit on, so even better.
He's got a couple white claws in his hand.
All right,
he's living large,
right?
So, anyways, so we have a very short show for you, but it's action packed. We did watch a movie, one John has talked about extensively over the past few months, Midsommar. Westworld aired this past Sunday, so we'll talk about that. We got a little bit of news, and something is returning from the dead, something we haven't gone to in well over a year. Rapid Fire is back, so stay tuned for a special coronavirus version of Rapid Fire by Sam. But first,
I can already tell what one question is going to be.
Oh, I can't wait. So
the answer is 28 weeks later, Sam.
All right. So first, a little bit of news that I want to get to. It's kind of a sad but happy news. Is because most of the world is under quarantine, movie theaters are shut down, which stinks. Movies are being pushed back. But there's one little glimmer of hope on the horizon, and it's that a lot of movies are actually being released to video on demand extremely early. I have a list of like the eight big ones that are coming out. Obviously, the two that already happened. So Frozen 2 dropped very early on Disney Plus on Sunday, this past Sunday, and Star Wars Rise of Skywalker also dropped, I think, Sunday on video on demand, or maybe it was Tuesday.
But it was not on Disney Plus.
It is not on Disney Plus, but it is on video on demand. Still trying to make some money, praying that it will come out as a plus, I guess.
Frozen 2 was video on demand first, too. Then it went to Disney.
Yeah, but it wasn't supposed to come to Disney Plus for a long time. That was the plan.
2 months is what I've been told.
Yeah. Some other movies that are getting released on video on demand. Bloodshot, Vin Diesel's Bloodshot, came out March 13th and then is being released on video on demand 11 days later.
Yeah, March 13th, a.k.a. what, Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, Friday. Mm. Yeah. It's like the beginning of the end for America, at least. That's getting released on the 24th. Also being released on the 24th, Birds of Prey is coming out on the 24th. And then,
are these digital downloads or are these?
So
like
this
rentals?
Is Amazon. Yeah, this is rental. So Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, what have you? They're being released for $20 a pop. I think that's the rental price, which is basically like going to a movie. So they're trying to make that money back, which you know, I can support that because, you know, I do feel bad for the cinemas right now, and the movie industry, because everything is just postponed right now.
And the question, I guess, now is this the way going forward, where, you know, we can go watch Bloodshot for $20 instead of going to a movie theater?
Right.
So, personally, I'd rather go to a movie theater, but, you know, I understand some people just don't want to go.
If this is a financial success, definitely.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because this has been the feeling for a while now, that, like, this is kind of the direction they've been going. But if this works out financially, yeah, absolutely.
Look at the movies that are being released, too. They're not, you know, your tent poles. Like, what was supposed to come out? Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah, Fast and Furious.
Was supposed to come out, yeah.
And Black Widow. Black Widow. Like, the big
one. They're not going to release those digitally.
Yeah, Mulan. however, I know you... I'll get back to that point you just said. But other movies, so Emma is coming out tomorrow. The Hunt, that was postponed way back when.
Like, the unluckiest movie of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad. Invisible Man is getting released on Friday, which is awesome, on the 20th. So you can watch that. But to get back to your tentpole movies, a movie that had no right of being as good as it was, and I'm not saying it was an excellent movie, I'm just saying it had no right to be as good as it was, Trolls, the sequel to that movie, World Tour, which was supposed to make money. Like, the first one made a lot of money. Kids loved that movie. It was going to make a lot of money. They decided to release that on video on demand the exact same day as it's being released into theaters. So
yeah,
that's huge. So the fact that they're doing that, and that's kind, not really, as you would put it, a tentpole, but it's a big sequel. It's not like, you know, it's not like a bad movie or a low budget movie that got a sequel that, like, might squeak by.
Yeah, it's definitely something they were thinking they were going to make money on.
Oh, yeah. Hoping that, you know, kids are going to flood the theaters for that with their parents, which they easily would have. Because, I mean, I was still working at the daycare when the first one came out, and it was huge. Every kid loved Trolls. Everyone. So, like, this is a hit. So we'll see what happens there. But on the plus side about all this, movie theaters in China are reopening. As like soon, so that's really good. But unfortunately, that means we're basically 2 months away.
Yeah.
Well, and that's best case scenario.
You know, we don't have to get into that part of it, but, you know, so this was referred to as the theatrical window. There's a certain, I think I want to say it's like 3 or 4 months of like exclusivity it has to be in theaters for before coming on home video. Just so, you know, it creates a kind of scarcity so people go see it in theaters. And this had been a practice for a very long time, but I think people just kind of saw the writing on the wall that this was going to come down at some point between, you know, Netflix, you know, releasing, like, real movies just to you right away and, you know, other streaming platforms doing something similar. And, you know, I mean, we've had same-day VOD for a while, but it's more like niche movies that are probably harder to find in theaters anyway.
Mm. Or movies they weren't expecting to make a lot of money on.
Right. So, you know, any kind of scraps they can get, the better.
Yeah. But,
you know, now these are like actual real, you know, advertised movies. Mm. And it'll be interesting to see what happens from here, because it's kind of like, you know, once you open Pandora's box, you can't close it. So, you know, if it's modestly successful, I mean, movie theaters are already going to be very shaky ground after all this.
Yeah.
So see what happens. I mean, it might honestly be an existential threat for the movie theater industry, which, I don't know. I love seeing movies in theaters, but if I had to live without, would it really change anything?
Yeah.
I mean, it might just become a more of a niche thing than it is kind of. It's ubiquitous right now. Your movie theater's everywhere. Now it might be you only have a couple per city.
Yeah. Yeah, might be. Might be the sort of thing you got to drive a half hour to go see, you know? Which, yeah. I mean, is us as Rhode Islanders talking, but I feel like, you know, CJ is the kind of thing that's like 20 minutes, you know, at most like 20 minutes away. You know,
hey,
like,
wait, we're massholes now.
Half okay, sure. But, you know,
I take pride in that.
Man, we've escaped somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens after all this, assuming there's an after all this. But yeah, I think it's not gonna be good for the movie, because I mean, if there's any kind of success, I think they'll push more stuff to do this. And honestly, I kind of welcome to see it, because as somebody who just likes to see a lot of new stuff, there's times I'm like, I don't feel like going to wherever to seek out just a movie that I just kind of want to see. You know, I'd even rather pay $20-$25 to just sit on my couch and watch it instead of driving, you know, making a night out of going to go see something for like $15, you know. It's like,
yeah, especially like those kind of like more dramatic movies that get limited releases and I have
like
to drive.
Lighthouse.
Yeah, where it's like I have to wait till something near me starts showing it, where it's not going to be that much of a difference to see it in a theater.
And you know, right. What's going to be nice too, if they do decide to go this route, is if you get like friends together. I mean, you don't need that many, but you get enough friends together, $20 is nothing to watch a brand new movie. Yeah.
It's like going to the drive-in.
Yeah.
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 So, except you don't have to worry about gas.
Yeah. Oh, if 30 years from now. I've already made this pledge. If it's 30 years from now and theaters are gone in the sense that we know them today, I'm building one in my house and I will have the movie parties.
Nice.
Because I can't stand not going to a movie theater.
No, I know.
It's killing me. I haven't been to a movie in 2 months and it's killing me.
I mean, I can't tell you the last movie I saw in theaters. That's crazy.
1917.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 1917 for me.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, we're trying, people, everybody. We're trying to watch these movies, but it's been a rough year.
And the Fire Stick is all going to be backed up because the movie theaters are closed.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, man. So, one other bit of news that I wanted to talk about. This is more towards gaming. A massive game is getting dropped on the 23rd, which is, was that Monday, right? Yeah, because today's the 19th. Massive game. We're talking about Half-Life Alyx, or Alyx, which is, if you don't know what the Half-Life series is, download Steam. They're all free right now until this drops. It's a first-person shooter, basically made first-person shooters as big as they are now, has a huge following. This game, it's being released on Steam, only on Steam because it's a Valve game, and it is VR only, which is kind of scary because you're kind of limiting your audience there by doing a VR only game, especially for a game with this much hype. So it works best on the Valve Index headset, which is the VR that Valve sells. And it's funny because when this was, the trailer dropped for this November of last year, and it had like 10,000 views in the first 24 hours. In that, between the dropping and the end of the year, Valve sold 103 units of the Valve Index headset. And if you combine, like, just for last year, if you take all of 2019, they sold almost 150,000. So, like, two-thirds of their sales took place in the last month and a half of this unit. That's how much buzz there is behind this game. Like, people are flocking to this game. And it's the first.
Do you guys have VR?
I do not. John, you do, right?
I do, but it's the Oculus Go, which I think is the, like, skinny version. Like, I don't know if it's good enough to play, like, real games.
Mm-hmm.
I should check that out.
Yeah.
But sent you guys a link today, too. They did a mod for, like, Half-Life 2 that's, like, Jurassic Park. Yes. And, like, you're shooting T-Rexes and shit.
It's called Jurassic Life. Like, that's literally what it's called.
Pretty cool.
Do you guys play Half-Life 2?
I own them, and I've never played them, but I've, like, the hype around these games are massive. Like, these are some of the, like, the best games ever. And the problem with Valve is they don't like to do thirds in series. So, like, they did the Portal series, so there's Portal 1, Portal 2, and no Portal 3. And then they also did Left 4 Dead, so Left 4 Dead 1, Left 4 Dead 2, no Left 4 Dead 3. And then they did Half-Life 1, Half-Life 2, no Half-Life 3. Then they did Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, no Half-Life Episode 3 for that. Then they released this, and it's not even Half-Life 3, it's like Half-Life 1.5, because it's supposed to take place between 1 and 2. So they just hate threes.
So let me throw something out there to you guys.
All right.
So I actually downloaded Steam.
Yes.
And can you guess what my first game purchase? I actually bought this game.
Is it an older game?
Yes.
Did you buy it on sale?
I don't know. It was cheap enough where I didn't really care. Yeah.
All right.
Emulator.
It is a remake of a classic. Probably one game that I've played on the computer side from World of Warcraft the most, and you guys would all know it.
Flight Simulator.
Nope.
No. Farm Simulator.
Hell no. Hell no.
Truck Simulator.
Euro Truck.
Have you heard of it?
No, you've played it, Sam. I've played it on your computer at your house when we were kids.
Age of Empires.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
Well, it's the first one,
right,
but it's like it's like a remake of the classic, whatever it is.
No, it's the second one.
Instead of
AoE 2.
It's not Age of Empires 2.
You didn't get AoE 2? Wait. No.
AoE 2 is the best one, dude.
Yeah, well.
I got AoE 1.
Because AoE 2, they've still have been releasing authorized expansion packs for it.
Oh, I'm not. Honestly, dude, I don't play it enough.
I have an
Xbox One S sitting right there that I have not touched in 7 months.
I use my Xbox for Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and turning on live television. Almost never games.
But you bought a $400 Fire TV.
Yeah.
My daughter has turned on that Xbox One more times than I have in the past year.
See, I have the cable box through the Xbox, so that's why I actually have to turn it on.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, but it's just...
Oh, boy.
I'm stuck. Yeah.
By the way, going back to Jurassic Life, the Half-Life 2 mod, it is set to release later this year. They're just kind of figuring out all the bugs. So, yeah. So if you're interested, I mean, like I said, all the Half-Lifes right now on Steam are free to play. So if you're curious about it, I know Half-Life 2 is probably the most like special one. Everybody loves that one. So I would check it out. I know I'm going to try if I ever have some time off between everything. So
a lot of people have a lot of time now.
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't. But that's why I kind of threw that out there. If you have time in a computer, download Half-Life 2 and you can play it. All right. So moving on. Let's talk about, do we want to talk about Westworld or Midsommar?
Westworld.
Let's do Westworld.
All right.
I think one is.
Yeah. So Westworld dropped on Sunday. New season, same characters, but in a new world. What are your guys' thoughts? Any thoughts? Silence.
Well, look, I think everybody's pretty much on the same page. First season was good TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a great show, an all-time great, but it was in very, like, entertaining and, like... You know, you're really into it. Mm-hmm. Second season had some bright spots, but I think on the whole, I don't really know what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately it's a show that has, like, in the second season at least, like, cool ideas, but the whole thing doesn't really come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going into the third season now, probably one of the bigger, like, just reset, reboots, whatever you want to call it, seen in a while. I mean, apart from some of those Archer seasons where they're just like, yeah, we're going to be in space now.
Yeah.
but that's a $3 million budget, for sure. But I don't know. My first take on this, on after seeing the first episode, which I liked, I don't know if I'm at the point where I can love Westworld again, but I definitely liked this episode. But I was just kind of walking away. It's like, why didn't they just make a movie? Like, why didn't they just do this as, like, a movie and just... I mean, I understand, like, the economics obviously aren't the same, but I feel like... I don't know. I feel like Jonathan Nolan and, you know, Lisa Joy, they could come up with a good, like, hour-and-a-half movie. They seem to have enough vision to, like, make it look cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, hopefully it seems like enough of his brothers rubbed off on him not to say that's the only way you can have creative juices flowing. But, yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. I'd be interested to see what it is. Very surprised to see Marshawn Lynch in it.
Yeah, that was funny. I was like, I was sitting there watching that scene, the first scene with him. I was like, wait a minute. And then I go on IMDb. I'm like, that is Beast Mode.
Yeah, because I knew he was, I had seen he was going to be a cameo, and I still didn't expect it. Then at the end, I was like, oh, fuck, that must have been Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch being Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, definitely a big dude next to a bunch of actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot going into this. Like, they have, like, some really talented people working on it. And I think it's just one of those things where, you know, the sum of the parts are less than the whole. Mm-hmm. But I shouldn't be too hard on it. I think it was an interesting setup. We'll see where it goes. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, though. I don't really have any faith it's going to go anywhere.
Sam, did you watch it?
I didn't have time to get down to and then, watch it.
Chris, so. You said you did not watch it?
No, I didn't even finish the second season.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's right. Being the only other person that watched it, I'm lost. I have no idea what's going on. It's definitely a hard, like, reset because I'm not quite sure what Dolores is even doing right now. Like, I have an idea-ish, but it's...
I think she wants to overthrow humanity, right?
Maybe. I mean, like, towards the end of the episode, you get that idea where she's like, it's, you know, the next, like, phase or the you know, the dominant species will take over. And she's talking about, you know, robots and stuff. So, but I just don't know. They're going after that ball thing. And
yeah, not, like, not I don't quite, know what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, like, it does stuff, but they're not quite sure what it does, so it's just kind of like there. And yeah.
Like, it's not explained at all, and it's the kind of dumb thing that, like, we really bitched out Star Wars for, and obviously should, but if you watch the, like, you know, 4-minute thing at the end of the episode, this which, is if you watch on go,
yeah,
they do explain that it's like this sort of, like, I don't know, IBM Watson on, like, steroids that, like, tells people, like gives them, like, life suggestions of what to do.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess it's, like, just one central hub or whatever. But, yeah, it's very poorly explained, and, I mean, it's the pilot episode. Like, how do you not have some kind of, you know, cogent explanation for, like, what the whole, like, setup here is going to be?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wish they kind of explained motives a little bit better, because, like, I'm not quite sure. It wasn't until, like, the end of the episode that I had an idea of what Bernard was up to. It was just kind of like Bernard just working on a meat farm. And then, like, then he, you know, he's fine. Like, he, like, runs back to Westworld at the end of the episode when he gets found out. So it's like... Like, his story was kind of a waste. And then Tessa Thompson's character, like, she's kind of in there a little bit. And, like, you could tell that, like, at least I understand her motives. That the whole scene, like, one scene she was in, I understand, because, like, her and the algorithm computer thing, they're on the same side to overthrow humanity. So they're working together. So I understand all that.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, Tessa Thompson, who's, I think, Teddy?
Right. I don't know. Which is weird because, like, I remember I watched the recap in the beginning and, like, they went over so many things and I was like, I don't remember any of this happening.
Yeah, I seem to remember, like, just, like, buckets of, like, plot devices being thrown at you in, like, the last three episodes.
Yeah, and...
the whole back, all those, like, you know, widescreen things, because it's, like, they're in the brain of Westworld or whatever. Yeah. What the fuck it's even called. Then they blow it up. Yeah, man, like, the second... I really have no desire to rewatch the second. I'd go back and rewatch the first one. Like,
oh, yeah.
The first one's, like, legit.
Yeah, so...
But, yeah, like, I don't know, like, what I wanted to call him Edgar Wright. Jeffrey Wright's doing. Yeah.
Well, Bernard. Bernard is going back. What?
His name's, like, Armin Delgado or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. On, like, but, like, he's going back to Westworld, and it seems like he's going back from Maeve, who...
Is it Nazi
World? Yeah, is, yeah, in Nazi World. But it seems like this whole season is going to a showdown at the very end, which is going to be Dolores versus Maeve. And, like, obviously shows that people are choosing sides right now. And unfortunately, it looks like Aaron Paul is on the Dolores side, and that's just because, like, by accident. You know, she literally fell into his arms.
Turn of fate. Like, it's almost like, is she, like, is this some kind of, like, you guys ever seen the movie The Firm?
No.
With Tom Cruise?
No.
Chris must have.
Yeah, I watched it a long time ago, though.
But there's a setup, I guess it's not really a spoiler, it kind of happens in the beginning of the second act, but there's this thing where, like, he, like, rescues this girl on a beach who's, like, getting attacked, and then they have sex, and the firm uses it to, like, blackmail him, essentially. It almost seems like that kind of thing, where it's, like, too perfect of, like, him, like, walking into, like, her being, you know, incredibly vulnerable or whatever. Like, it just seems too, I don't know, too on the nose. Like, I don't really know what's... I was going to call him Jesse Pinkman for a second. bad. I don't know what's the special thing about him. Like, I'm already in the back of my head, like, oh, what if he's the Man in Black's son or some other dumb bullshit like
that? Yeah, like some kind of twist. What's the twist with him?
I know. I hope to God it's not that. Or like maybe he's like Anthony Hopkins' long lost son or some really stupid thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that could be the case. Like if he's the Man in Black's son, like he's rich. So like he wouldn't be like in the army and then like, you know, working for scraps. Right. But I don't, you know, I thought the whole world was cool. Like,
oh, yeah.
Glad this is where the show is now because the other stuff was getting very like, you know, run of the mill and you know it was getting very like worn out. You know?
Like it wasn't like last season. All the stuff with Maeve I really liked because it was outside of the park, and it seems like it does seem like they're going back to the park for a little bit, but all the out of the park stuff that this show has done. Seems to be like some of the more interesting stuff, like to build this world, like the app that Aaron Paul has, the crime app, where he can choose to do like different crimes for money.
Yeah, how it's like literally a video game.
Yeah, like that like it's cool, and I like I did watch the thing after the episode where they go into kind of depth about what the app is, but I mean. You do kind of appreciate when a like a creator or a filmmaker or whatnot, they know more about this like random plot device, like they can go into depth more about it. It's kind of like almost like how George Lucas was able to create his universes, where he has all these details about all these like minor things, and it just helps create a world. And that's what they're able to do now with this. Real world outside of Westworld, which I really like.
Yeah, I guess one thing that kind of struck me is that, you know, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy, they've talked about how, like, the foundations of the show was, like, literally, like, it was, like, one of them, like, I think, like, playing, like, Red Dead Redemption or something like that, and they've been, like, killing the people. So it's, like, you know, what if they did a thing where, you know, the people you killed actually had lives and everything, and it kind of spiraled out there from there. So clearly, and like a lot of the vibe has always kind of been like, feels like a video game. I mean, essentially it is like a real life kind of, you know, video game in many aspects. But I don't know. I guess part of me is like, you know, one, they could just do like a really cool movie, or two, they could have done something that, you know, was sort of outside the whole Westworld construct. And, because I think now they've got this kind of like cool futuristic, like, you know, halfway to Blade Runner kind of world they got going. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to see like what direction that actually like would take.
Yeah.
You know? Instead of this whole other like weird convoluted like, oh, the robots are rising up. Or not even that, but like, I don't know. I guess it's like it's been hard to tell like what's actually anyone's motivation here. Like even Bernard, I think he's trying to stop Dolores, but like also why?
And what's up with the two personalities? Like,
oh yeah,
and the button like, in his pocket.
It's just, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, final thoughts. Are you in on this season or out?
Yeah, I don't think it has like a super long rope, but you know, yeah, I'm sticking around. And I mean, look, they threw a lot of money at it, and it looks good too.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still in on this season. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I have very tempered expectations. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to our second to last talking point. We all saw Midsommar. Correct? Everybody watched it?
I saw half of it.
All right. This is going to be a very interesting talk. So, Sam, why did you watch half of it?
Because I had a surprisingly busy afternoon.
That is surprising.
And to be fair, we only decided on this, like, what, 5 hours ago? Yeah. So.
No, he had a good 10 hours.
No, we decided on this at, like, 1 o'clock. It is now 9 o'clock, so it's been 8 hours. Chris, you watched it.
Oh,
obviously.
Oh, did I watch this?
I want Chris's take on Midsommar.
Did Geneva like it?
No, no. She was not home today, actually. So, okay. This is my question for John. Did you ever think I was gonna like this movie?
I suggested the other one too.
Did you ever think? Okay, so the other one was.
I shouldn't say that. I think there are like parts of this that I thought you like. It's a little long, but I thought a little.
should we start with? Okay, I hated this movie.
I will say this. It's probably best seen in a theater, possibly when you're in a bit of an altered state. I'll just leave it at that.
I can see why you would think that. I can see why. Mostly because the actors themselves are in an altered state as they're in this movie. Where to begin with this? So the movie was, what, 2 hours and 17 minutes? I forget. I think it's 2 hours and change.
I think there's a director's cut with an extra like 12 minutes.
No, it's a half hour.
171 minutes.
Yeah.
Ooh. 171 minutes is the director's cut.
That's the director's cut is long.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. But let's get into the movie itself. The movie itself is about a bunch of post grad or grad students.
Yeah, they're all grad students.
Who take a summer trip to Sweden. They're their friend who's Swedish, and he invites them over for this midsummer festival. And one of them is actually doing a thesis on European cultures, I guess. And another one is trying to find his thesis, and eventually he does. But it's a story about this group of friends and this girl who has this massive tragedy happen to her, and she tags along with her boyfriend who's part of the group, and then they go on this weird tripped out just commune adventure. And it says it's a horror movie, but it's really not. It's just it's an art house film. I can't picture anything more indie than this movie. And it really, I want to know how many drugs this guy did when he wrote this movie. Because it's just, yes, things tie together, don't get me wrong. And it's good cinematography, it's nothing crazy. But it's just the long settling scenes where it's just you see somebody's face for maybe 3 minutes. And it should have been maybe 12 seconds.
A lot of long shots.
Yeah, a ton of long shots that are frankly, very unnecessary. There's a couple that you need, and I get, but there's a lot of them. The majority of them are unnecessary. And you could literally cut this movie down to an hour and 35 minutes just getting rid of the unnecessary scene. And I thought it's just, like, the acting was fine, but I think it was okay, but it's, I think the actors did okay, but I think it's they were only doing what the director wanted them to do, even though it was just so fucking stupid and crazy. It just that scene in the end where I don't know if it's right after she finds out he was okay. The one scene that I did really enjoy and find mildly upsetting that I didn't enjoy it so much was when they like drug the dude to have sex with the girl, but then there's like all these older women standing around in a circle watching him, and then there's like cutscenes.
Older naked women, to be
older sure. Naked women, and then there's like the mom who's sitting there mid thrust, just her hand on her cheek or something, and then the old lady is pushing from behind. It's just, but aside from that, there was the scene afterwards, I think, where it was the lady, his girlfriend, was just crying on the floor, and then a bunch of other girls were swaying in motion, doing the same thing. It was so incredibly stupid. So stupid. The movie had the minimalist plot. Honestly, I couldn't. I think it was just a twisted story that should never. It was released in theaters.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was released in theaters. Yeah. To a dismal return, but, you know, I think it was select theaters probably, right? There's no way this movie got massive release.
No, it got wide release.
Yeah, it got a wide release.
Then I have no shame saying this movie bombed. There's no way. I have no shame in saying this movie. Well, I don't know if it bombed because it was probably filmed on a. Given the age of everybody, probably filmed on a fucking iPhone 8.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I can't stand this movie.
All right.
Thank you for making me watch it, but no.
So I guess my turn. Chris, I agree
Top
with you.
That, Sean.
I agree with you 100%. I did not like this movie. I made it almost about an hour into this movie. And I had two thoughts. One, my God, this is taking forever to get started. And two, yeah, I've seen this movie so many times before, but it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, right? Didn't we see this movie recently?
This whole plot is nothing unique. It's just this time it's like, but what if Gen Zs were stuck in this situation? Like, it's...
Well, I'm going to turn Florence Pugh over to Gen Z.
No, but they're supposed to be just right. barely out of college, so they would be, right now they would be Gen Zs. But
like, that's not millennial.
No.
Yeah, it's like 95 is the cutoff. So, yeah.
So, but I like God. Just I didn't finish this movie. Like I read the synopsis afterwards.
And oh,
like,
you didn't see the sex scene?
No, I didn't. Well, I ahead of time I have heard, I did hear of it, but I didn't actually watch it because like it got to the point where nothing was happening and I was just like, I'm spending more time focusing on my phone on random stuff on my phone than I am even in this movie. Like I ended up stopping it and just watching Westworld afterwards, which I'm
when did
okay
you stop
with.
Watching it?
Oh God! I can't even.
Did
remember.
They jump off the cliff?
It was just before that.
Just before that. Okay, yeah. So the movie doesn't start until I want to say the movie starts right around.
Yeah, it's right around there.
Yeah.
No,
which is right over an hour into the movie.
No, when right around the movie starts, right around when he discovers the pube in his cupcake or whatever it was. I think that was the first. That's when it kind of picks up, and you're like, "All right, we have a semi story here."
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that shot where it shows the story of the girl, like in paintings on like a banner of like the girl falling in love,
it's
and
the
like
same thing.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed, and half of this podcast doesn't even know what the deal is with the fucking bear. Okay.
I do know. Like I said, I read the synopsis afterwards. I understand, which is such a random scene with the bear.
You have to see it.
What's the deal with the bear?
Well, he gets put in the bear suit and then into the fucking firehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just
first time you see the bear,
you have to buy into the movie to like it. All right.
But like,
yeah, at the end of the movie when they were burning the thing, didn't he say, "Oh, you have the bear suit to put you in a place where you're in damnation because of what you did"? What did he do? He didn't do anything wrong, really. The dude was drugged and he was banging the girl.
Yeah. Well, he was very shitty to his girlfriend. Gotta say that.
He was very what?
He was shitty to his girlfriend.
Yeah, but do you really think pagans understand the difference between girlfriend and mate? Like,
yes.
Like, they were not bound by marriage or anything. Like, they're just boyfriend girlfriend kind of thing.
I really struggle to see why people enjoy this movie, because I read a bunch of comments from actors and directors and stuff, and they all praised it, but I think they're just being nice.
it's a very artsy film, and if you really like artsy films, this is definitely up your alley, which I don't mind artsy films. It's just this took way too long. I mean, there's the scene when they like show up to the town in the car, and you see the banner and it's upside down, and then it turns and focuses on the sky for like 10 seconds and then flips back over, and then it's just the road again, and it shows like, what was the point of that whole scene?
They don't do that for the rest of the movie, FYI.
I know.
Let me explain. When you watch that and you're in the theaters and you're a little high, that part is like, whoa, dude.
Right, but I wasn't. And I was, dude, I had a big screen.
I will get more tripped out high watching straight Doctor Strange than this movie.
Yeah, so, I mean, I couldn't watch it. It was just so boring. And, like, I'm glad I read the synopsis afterwards, because I was just like, yeah, I would have hated this movie. It just seems stupid. Because, like,
I mean, nothing happened that you were surprised at, right?
What?
Nothing actually happened that you were surprised at.
Yeah.
No, it took 40 minutes for them to jump off a cliff.
I mean, like, literally, like,
I just think it's, like, the best version. That's all. I'm not saying it's, like, a super original story. I mean, I don't think anybody would say that. But, like, I think it's, like, well acted. It's just very, like, creepy the whole time, and it looks beautiful. And to me, that just, like, appeals to me.
But, like, if I wanted to watch this story again, and I had a choice of any of these versions, I'd honestly rather rewatch Nick Cage's The Wicker Man than this movie.
So,
because it's
that
just,
one's like it.
Well, I know it was heavily influenced by The Wicker Man, but, like, there's The Wicker Man, there's The Ritual, which was an Andy Serkis film that came out on Netflix. What was the one with
Michael Sheen one was kind of like this too.
This isn't. I've seen this story before so many times.
It's just, but no, I can see John's point though. We have seen this story before. It's just I might actually agree with him that this is the best done of that.
Watch the original Wicker Man. The original.
No. I hate it. I dislike that one.
The original. Not the Nick Cage one. Nick Cage one is a remake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see the original, but I did see the Wicker Man, the third Nick Cage one.
Nick Cage one is awful. But it's hilariously awful.
I think the topic itself is boring, because it's a slow burn. No matter what you do, it's a slow burn with this. And it's
know what's going to happen, like 10 minutes in. Really. Well, I mean, not 10 minutes in, but once they get to there. And, like, they're, like, seemingly a little bit weird. You're like, oh, this is the thing.
Has there ever been a commune movie that ended on a positive note?
No.
Well, I mean, even the Shyamalan one.
The Village.
The Village. That didn't end really on a positive note.
No.
So. You're
like, whoa.
Yeah. The Witch.
It's like one of times. Sorry. Spoiler alert.
I can't think of like a commune movie that actually ended on a positive note.
That Salem witch trial one. All the witches died. The Crucible. All the witches died. So that ended
on A&E movie.
The what?
It was. I only remember that because I saw it on A&E.
With Winona Ryder and who was John Brown?
I think they played it in history. I think they played it in middle school history class.
Yeah, they did. I watched it in high school.
Sam, what did you think?
I did think it dragged a lot, but like, damn it, this is a really pretty movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
It was filmed on an iPhone 10, dude. Of course, it's pretty.
It was not filmed on iPhone 10. You're fucking making that up.
I mean, it really doesn't matter what camera you're filmed on. It's all about the editing process afterwards, anyways.
I mean, I'm really curious to see what Chris would think of a Bergman movie, but...
So this guy, the director, Ari Aster, is big friends with Robert Eggers, who did The Lighthouse.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Chris, I don't think it's going to end up any different if you ever see that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine it would be different.
Because let me just tell you right now, there's even less plot in that one.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I like it. It's just so batshit crazy and off the wall. And it's quick. It's over in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, up in Kennedy.
Dude, quick is an hour, 20 minutes.
I don't remember how long the Lighthouse was, but it was shorter than this movie. I'll give it that much.
Can you remember the last movie you watched that was an hour and 20 minutes?
No.
Or under an hour and 40 minutes.
Bambi's like 52 minutes.
No, like new movie. It's just hard to find.
Yeah, it mostly like those direct to DVD ones where there's like no plot. Those usually are quick.
Yeah, we got to check out some of these Steven Seagal movies he's been doing lately. I've heard some like reviews and like they seem incredible.
Oh god. All right. Well, and any final thoughts on Midsommar?
This movie stunk. I'm glad it didn't win anything.
Yeah,
it's not Swedish. It's only part Swedish. It's not
football. I can see why this movie was not nominated. Like, it's a very pretty movie, and I understand critics would look at it and go, wow, that was a beautiful art movie. But, like, stacked up against other movies that were nominated this year, like, it had no chance.
Yeah, Knives Out should have clearly been over this movie for anything.
I don't think you get this kind of, like, craftsmanship or whatever in most horror movies, and I kind of appreciated that aspect of it. Like, it was, like, in my top 10 last year, but it's not, you know, I don't think it's, like, incredible. I think it's just a wild ride.
See, I thought I had high hopes for this, considering you said it was in your top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had high hopes for it, because I've heard a lot of good things.
Other one, let me tell you, if we did the other one, it's more of a low floor or high floor, low ceiling kind of deal. This one was a bit of a bigger range. So,
yeah.
But, all right, Chris, any other thoughts? Any other final thoughts?
A lot of the nakedness in the end. There's a lot of naked people in the end.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I wouldn't recommend this movie for anybody.
Yeah,
unless you're an art student. Unless you're like UC USC art student or something.
All right.
That's what I got.
Sam, any other?
It is not on my binge worthy. It is not on my binge worthy recommendations that we have coming up.
Yeah, no. Sam, any other final thoughts?
I didn't see enough of this to really form a solid opinion, but
all right.
Do you think you'll finish it?
I might go back and finish it.
Please do so, Sam. Please. And give us, you know, write a book report on it, please.
write your thesis. Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, boy.
I got to write a book report on those.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
So, are we ready for some rapid fire?
Yes. Yes, I think we're ready.
I'm ready. Playing the song.
Kaboom.
All right, take it away, Sam.
All right. Okay. So, rapid fire. I'm just going to be asking you guys some questions. And I just want to hear you guys' answers to all of them. So, let's stay on a question I came up with while watching what little of Midsommar I saw. But... I was thinking when I was watching it, like, why would anyone stay? This is clearly some kind of death cult. But but I was thinking, what would make you stay at a cult? Like, what would they have to have? Like, it's the same kind of cult. They sacrifice people, but they got that one thing where you're like, you know what? It's all right. I'll stay.
Oh, man.
Wow, Sam.
This is a deep question. I was not expecting this.
I was thinking, like, you know, like they have trampolines that where you can bounce to everywhere or something like that.
Are you guys familiar at all with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Slightly.
Okay, so essentially it's like, you know, needs, and, you know, it starts with, like, basic, you know, I need, you know, water, shelter, food, goes up to, like, well, I need to be, like, financially successful, and then I need self-actualization, stuff like that. You know, you have to, the needs build, right? To me, the bottom rung of the cult thing is comfortable outfits.
All right.
Looks aren't as important because everyone's wearing the same thing. But if it doesn't have a comfortable outfit, I don't know if I could go. But honestly, on the matter of a cult, though, I've always thought, like, I'm pretty, like, you know, self-thinker. You know, I'm pretty set in my ways. But I could do a cult. If you convince me, yeah, sure, why not?
I wouldn't. I'd burn it all down the day I arrive.
All right.
No way.
But like, what would keep you there?
There's nothing that would make you want to stay. Like,
no.
Free
blood. I'm in Massachusetts. We started the revolution. That's not, technically not true, but yeah.
What if they made you the cult leader?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't trust it because I'd feel like they would kill the cult leader after like a year.
I'd write a document. We the people. In order to perform a perfect union.
Yeah, I don't know what would ever keep, like, every movie I watch that has free bacon. Now every movie I've ever seen.
If they had bacon for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know you would stay.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, every.
Sure, I might get sacrificed, but I get sacrificed happy.
If they allowed Sean to write and direct every Star Wars movie going forward, he would stay.
You're not totally wrong. No, that'd be kind of cool. Like every cult movie I've ever seen, that first like instance where you're like something's happening and the main character's like, whoa, something's up, I'd be like, no, I'm gone. Like every time, like, all right, this is too sketchy for me, I'm out. Like, so I don't know what would ever keep me at a cult if there were human sacrifices.
Yeah, let me just say, every cult movie ends up really well for the people in the cult.
Yeah.
And the people coming just join the cult, too.
Oh, yeah. It's always a happy ending. All right, what's your next question, Sam?
Can it be happier than the last one?
Here's an idea. So, we're kind of in the middle of a historic event right now.
Happy,
don't
Sam.
Say.
But I was thinking... You all, out of these historic events, you always get that, like, based on a true story movie that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think the first movie is going to be? Not the best.
Already got it.
But the first.
Already got it. I called this, like, 3 weeks ago. All right?
Okay. Well,
so, while touring over in China, Mark Wahlberg comes across the first person to where he diagnoses it as the coronavirus. Then he heads over to America, tries telling everyone. Nobody believes him. But he works around the clock, and then he himself finds the cure to this thing and administers it to all of his patients and everybody around the world. That is the first movie.
First person he saves.
What?
Well, the first person he saves is his sick daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
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 Does Mark Wahlberg in this movie wear glasses?
Yes, because it makes him look smart.
Absolutely.
This sounds like more of a Matt Damon movie. But
no, it's Mark Wahlberg.
You're wrong, buddy. That's a Mark fucking Wahlberg movie.
He did that the burning oil rig movie almost immediately, and he also did the Boston Marathon bombing movie almost immediately. And it's basically the same plot in both. It's Mark Wahlberg is at the center of everything.
Like,
so we're going to say it's also directed by Peter Berg, who also directed the movie Battleship.
Sure. Yeah.
Didn't Peter Berg do Green Zone too?
No, that's Paul Haggis, but a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
So, beat that movie, guys.
I can tell you exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a documentary movie, and it's going to be about the airline industry.
It's going to be the first movie about this?
Yep. It's going to be pretty boring, but it's going to be a documentary about the airline industry.
All right.
John, do you got something?
Honestly, the Wahlberg movie was kind of my movie, but let's see. It's a man sitting alone in a cafe after his life work has ended because all he wanted to do was run a pasta restaurant. And that man is... Oh, fuck, yeah. That man is Bradley Cooper. This is low road cash, dealing in a time of massive crisis. He finds love despite being socially distant. And you know, ends up pretty happy.
All right. See, my idea was a hurricane heist situation. Everybody quarantined, these thieves try to steal something from like a bank or something during the outbreak.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
Right.
There's no villain. That's the tough part.
Well, no, in the Mark Wahlberg movie, the government is the villain because he's trying to tell the U.S. government what's going on, and all these senators are like, no, you're lying. This is fake. And then, like, once it hits America, everybody's like, oh, my God, Mark Wahlberg in glasses. He was right the whole time.
Here's the thing, though, what's going to be the deal with that movie? It's not going to be about this crisis. It's going to be, like, almost the exact same thing. With, like, the people's names and shit changed sort of thing?
Well, yeah, it's going to be... Yeah, no one's going to be the actual person, but it'll be about... just like the Boston bombing, because if you watch that movie, which apparently got good reviews, if you watch the Boston bombing...
It wasn't bad.
Right, but Mark Wahlberg was at the finish line, and then at the end of the movie, found the dude in the boat.
Oh.
And, like, none of that happened.
No, but well, it's not a documentary, Sean.
No, I know. I understand.
Just based
this.
On
to make it a good movie.
Yeah,
yeah, because they're all he played.
It's not like it's like the guy who shot Bin Laden was working at Cantor Fitzgerald in the South Tower. Like, I mean,
yeah, it's
right. But like
and they said at the beginning before the movie started, he's going to be like the central character who is mimicking. I want to say three or four.
Oh,
individual characters,
right?
Real life people who witnessed it all, kind of keeping everything in one.
Right, but it like literally happened like a year and a half before, so it's kind of like everything that happened during that was public knowledge, and it's not like, you know, with like Bin Laden, like you said, John, where it was like everything is like kind of leaked out slowly afterwards of like what went down and whatnot. Like we all literally knew what happened.
Yeah, but of course they're going to make a movie about it.
I know, but it was just kind of funny that it was so quick and Mark Wahlberg was in the center of everything. It's just funny.
You had to have a central focus. You don't watch any of the Mark Wahlberg movies, so I'm not
going to... No, I don't.
I don't.
We're not going to get into this right
anyway,
now.
Anyway, Sam, next question.
So next question. Here's one. Stay on coronavirus. There's a theme to these.
Oh, boy.
So if I gave you, like, the option that you could, like, make sure we don't lose one celebrity during all this, who would it be?
Is Tom Hanks safe?
Yeah, it's Tom Hanks, without a doubt. Like, world would go into anarchy if Tom Hanks died.
I think Tom Hanks' best days are behind him.
did you see the trailer for that new movie coming out? What the heck is it called? The Boat
Man.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see that movie.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
As long as Tom Hanks is okay, I really don't.
Yeah, like, to hell with everyone else now, huh?
You know what? I hope Mark... No, I don't want to say that. That's wrong.
We all know that's what wrong. You were about to say.
He's
going to
solve it, so you're fine. So that's
like, he's going to be infected at one point, and he'll test the thing on himself. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Yeah. So I think it's John. Who would you say? Because Chris and I both agree with Tom Hanks.
Well, can I give like a corollary to this?
All right.
Sure. I was thinking about this today because then I watched this movie, but like. What about, you know how, like, in The Two Towers, like, Gandalf comes back?
Yeah.
But, like, what if it was now and Philip Seymour Hoffman comes back?
That's who you would take back, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yes.
That's your choice, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
I always, in my mind, I debate, like, who's it better to be right now, Philip Seymour Hoffman or Kevin Spacey? I don't really know.
Tis a predicament. That is a rapid fire question.
Yeah.
That is a rapid fire question.
Yeah. All right, so what's the take?
Anyways. All right, Sam, keep going.
I also rewatched Margin Call with Kevin Spacey. And,
dude, you have no idea how much 2008 and 2007 movies I've been watching the past week.
Oh, dude, all right, let's go. All right, mini rant. What have you been watching? I've been watching Margin Call. You ever see this one, The Company Men, with Ben Affleck? I think it's on Netflix.
I have not, but I will give like that it. One a shot. Like, so I watched Margin Call, obviously, because that's a sleeper. And then The Big Short.
Like, on the brink of crisis. Like,
yeah.
I still love that scene when like they're driving back on like the Brooklyn Bridge, and it's like, what, do you think you're going to... You think we'll all be okay? And he's like, nah, we're all fucked.
Yeah. It's just perfect how... Jeremy Irons is like the dumb shit who is a billionaire,
right? He's just lucked into being like, have like $120 million salary.
Yeah. So Margin Call, Big Short, obviously Too Big to Fail, which I think is underrated. I actually just watched the one on Prime, Inside Lehman Brothers.
Is like the last days of Lehman Brothers?
Yeah. Is it? I don't know. It's newer.
That was a CNBC movie.
Was it? No, it was. It followed
the BNC.
It's a documentary. Followed the BNC employees.
Oh no!
It's a new one in Prime. It came out in 2019. Late 2019. So I watched that one, and then what was the other one? I forgot. There was another one I watched though. Damn, I can't think of it.
Yeah, shout out to what was that like? 20 episodes ago when we did like our best financial movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just recalling all those movies and rewatching them for some reason because I keep trying to shoot myself in the foot, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It's a fantastic way to feel fucking depressed as hell.
Yeah, I know. After I watched 4 hours of CNBC in the morning.
Right.
It's just it doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, because then it's like, there's like a Trump press conference. They're like interviewing somebody. Like they're talking to like Bill Ackman yesterday. He's like, we need to shut down the country for a month. And I'm like, yeah, okay, dude.
Yeah, it's 4 hours. It's the first 2 hours of what's going on. You know, usually oil prices, things like that. And then all of a sudden it's about randomly kids showing up on the video because they're all working from home and stuff. And then Jim Cramer comes on and he's all negative and down and unhappy, and then Trump comes on.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, that was just my Jim Cramer impression. Like how he's just, you know. No, it's been funny to see all these people's homes all of a sudden.
Yeah, right? No, on every TV.
Yeah.
And radio. And all the radio stations too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should share that as this is our first 4-way Skype call. We are sharing video.
Yeah, we have had a 3-way.
Yeah.
Now we're getting really midsummer.
Like, a 3-way going with somebody watching, like on the other side of the room.
Are we doing phrasing anymore?
All right.
Anyway, I guess we should go back to rapid fire.
All right, we'll do one more. This will just be a quick one. This is a yay or nay on this. So they discovered the cure for coronavirus, but you have to watch Justice League every day for a year. Would you do it?
Yay.
Yay.
Justice League. All right. So unpopular opinion, Justice League is not as bad as people remember it to be. It's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's bad.
That's the funny thing. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I know.
Is there a virtual slap face button? needs to be invented.
No, but no. Don't get me wrong. Like Batman v Superman is much, much worse than.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with
than
you.
Justice League. Like Justice League is just so stupid. I could rewatch it multiple times.
See, here's the thing. I like to counter that where it's like, Justice League didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman did.
Like there was no point in Justice League where I was like, yeah, I think I should get up and leave. Whereas Batman v Superman had that moment with the Martha.
I think, so I'm obviously a yes. I think, Sean, you're exactly right. Like, my soul was sort of destroyed when I saw Batman versus Superman, so it really couldn't have gotten any worse.
Yeah.
They just added more Wonder Woman, a little bit of Flash, a little bit of Cyborg.
Aquaman.
A stew of mediocrity.
Yeah.
So what if I change that to Batman versus Superman?
Would you guys have the same answer? Corona.
You already
all day. Corona all day.
Well, Director's Cut's actually good. Has anybody actually seen it?
No, I don't want to.
I've asked this like 20 times on the podcast, and I still refuse to. But yeah. I've heard it's actually like it makes sense.
I've also heard that the Daredevil Ben Affleck movie, the director's cut of that movie, is actually a lot better. I still refuse to watch it because that movie is crap. Like, it doesn't matter if it... What?
People just say that about bad movies, where they're like, oh no, the director's cut's better. It's like, it's still a bad movie.
Yeah. Like,
if you showed me director's cut for regular cut, I honestly would never be able to tell the difference, even with the ones that you should know.
Yeah.
Like Alien.
Oh yeah, no, I have the quadrilogy where it has both versions. And I've seen both, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really... I know, like, Aliens, they add, like, a couple scenes in, but, like...
Yeah, it's like, with a lot of those movies, a couple scenes not going to save it.
No. The one movie that I've seen both, that I actually did see a difference between the two, was the movie, Legend, with Tom Cruise and Tim Curry by, what's-his-face, he did Alien. Oh my!
Ridley Scott.
Thank you. It's like a fantasy movie by him, and they added like the way it is edited. It makes a lot more sense because I watched the director's cut first, and then I sat down with Amy, and she was like, "Oh, I want to watch it." So we watched the regular, and I was like, "Oh my god, this sucks!" It's like this is so much worse. So, if you have a chance to, I definitely would recommend the director's cut of Legend.
All right, so why don't we do a binge recommendation?
Well, Sam's got to announce the winner.
The winner, I'm going to give it to John. He had some good answers.
Damn it.
Cheers.
Polish off that bottle of Pinot, huh?
Chris and I have been just downing some red wine, some Pinot Noir.
Hey, it's what's in stock right now.
Yeah, like the two of us just fucking go to town on a bottle of wine.
I'm almost done the bottle. This is awful. All right, so we should do a binge recommendation because everybody's locked down, and Shout out to the people who have multiple kids, because I don't know how they do it. And they stay in at home all day, all night, nobody watching them or anything. And there's no, just go online and look at the videos on Instagram, and it's just freaking chaos.
Yeah.
I think you just have, like, frozen on a loop, right?
Yeah, but it really only goes so far with certain ages. So I got the 2-year-old, so I got the terrible twos.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the attention level is 15 minutes, so. But you get older kids, and they're like, all right, well, why are we watching this 7 times today? So, but shout out to those people. But we're going to give a binge recommendation, one from each of us for this week. And Sean, why don't you go first?
I mean,
it's got to be on a stream. It's got to be on a streaming network.
Oh, I know.
At least be able to be streamed.
I will continue to stand by with everything that's happening now on Hulu. Yep. The Strain.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's got that horror action element to it, and it's kind of like, it kind of mimics what's happening now. It's just with vampires in New York City. No, it's pretty good. It was, it's 4 seasons.
Did you finish it?
No, we're almost done with season 2.
Okay, 4th season, it just like tanks hard.
I've heard negative things about the 4th season. Like, they didn't know how they were going to finish it.
But yeah, they had no idea.
I mean, it's pretty good. Like, it's getting more actiony now than it is horror. Like, the first season is like kind of terrifying at times.
Well, first season is the outbreak, so
right.
You know, it's kind of good.
Season 2 is more right, containment, season. And you know, people are fighting back now. So
yep. Same thing with season 3. And then 4th season, it just kind of gets crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's a solid recommendation. Sam, what you got?
So, it's just the whole theme of an invisible enemy slowly killing people in an area put me in a mood. So, I am currently rewatching Chernobyl.
Yeah, dude.
Wow. You were in a negative Sally mood today.
That first episode when they're like, what do you mean the RBMK reactor blew up? Like, that's impossible. Hell of an episode to watch like 2 weeks ago when, you know, sounded very similar to certain people. Anyway.
John.
Chernobyl, a fantastic choice. My pick, and now, look. The show can be a little bit of an acquired taste, but if you were there for Watchmen, I have to recommend The Leftovers.
Okay. That's what I thought you were
going to
say.
As something that's going to kill or, you know,
Dad's looking towards the future. The
population of the world disappears. Very much on the same scale. No, and it's not so much a crisis movie as like what comes after. But it's very weird, very, you don't really know what happened, you don't really, you know, the show grasps at explanations, but that's not really the point, as the second and third season theme song is, let the mystery be, so to speak. It's a show that the first season can be a little up and down, I'm going to just throw that out there, but after that, it's, like, incredible, and I've never had an emotional ride. Like, really, I mean, like, you know, it can be like a tearjerker at times. It's a really highest recommendation, although I will accept the fact that it might not be for everybody. And the first season can be like a little fucking depressing. So it might almost be 2 on the nose right now, but give it a shot.
All right.
Well, since everybody's going depressing and end of world style-ish, I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. And I'm going to move away from what I was originally going to recommend, but this is a little comedy called Schitt's Creek.
Yes, okay.
It's about a rich family who, because we haven't talked about it on the show, right?
No, and it's coming to an end.
So it's, yeah, this is the last season, but it's a rich family. I forget exactly what they have. I think it's Long Island, but it's. A family that's very well off, and they lose everything, literally everything, except they own a town, which is, through some weird dealing, they ended up owning a town in, I forget what state it is, I think it's Pennsylvania, but it's in the middle of nowhere.
it's like a joke or something like that, or it was like a bet or something. Like, it's not even really meant to.
No, it's, I forget exactly how it came to be, but it's just like this real trash town, you know, single restaurant that serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's just them. It's just these really posh family getting adjusted to this lifestyle, and it's just hilarious. It's hilarious, and you watch two episodes, the first two, and then you know exactly what's going on, and you can pick it up anywhere else, and it's just gonna feel. It's just a comedy. It's 30 minutes. It's quick. Good. I think it's six seasons, and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's just won a lot of.
It's lighthearted.
It's won a lot of awards too. I know that.
A lot of people don't know about it, but when they do watch it,
isn't it on like IFC or something like that?
It was a show.
Well, I mean, yeah, but what channel does it air on? I think it's IFC. What?
Oh, it's like Pop Sugar or something like
that. Oh yeah, I think
originally it was Pop, and then it moved to somewhere else. I think, but. It's
not a channel that normal people get.
Yeah, not a lot of people had the channel. Now it's streaming on Netflix and Hulu, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's just, a lot of people don't know about it, and, you know, they hear it in passing, and then when they actually do watch it, they enjoy it and find it funny. So.
I mean, it's Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, and it's Eugene Levy's son, too, is the son. So I mean,
yeah. Is he really? Son?
Yeah, yeah.
he does so well in that.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. They all do. They all do great. The kids are great in that show.
I mean, it's just Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy. I mean, you watch any other movie that they're like partnered up in, and they're great. Like, they're hysterical.
Yeah, she's in all those Christopher Best movies too,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Like, so one that comes to mind is Best of Show. Like, yeah, in Best of Show, they're like a couple, but like, she's obviously slept with everyone they've ever met. And like, you could just, the whole movie, he's just so uncomfortable. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I could never get into those.
Really? Best.
Like, it's one of those you watch, you're like, yes, I see you're trying to be funny. Good on you, sir. You know, and like, I don't know. That's a little unfair because it actually is like a little funny, but it's not like. I'm going to watch an hour and a half of this.
Yeah. I know, was it The Mighty Wind is tough, but it's got some great moments. Obviously, you know, like I think Best of Show is great. But like, it's definitely
Best
an acquired
Best of Show
is
their
taste.
Best work.
It's definitely
their
an
Best
acquired
of Show is their best movie together.
You wouldn't say, oh, well, I guess if you're just saying those two, but like this is Spinal Tap. It's probably up there for him too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's probably his best movie, but Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara are not in that movie?
I don't think either are.
Yeah, I don't think they're in that movie. So, all right. Any other recommendations? Chris, what is your depressing recommendation? I'm just curious.
It's $4 million.
What was that?
Regardless of what you say about the Game of Thrones.
Oh.
But regardless of what you say about the ending, like, the season itself is just phenomenal. So, and plus, now's the best time to get into it. Why not? If you're not into it, you might as well.
Yeah. The ending is scaring people away, though.
Yeah. Sean, can we throw out a... I don't know how this is going to work with social distancing, but I think for the three of us at least...
Oh, yes, yes.
Mike's recommendation...
Yes.
For the board game Pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We played it on, that was Saturday. We played it with friend of the show. And there's one game, I played it again today with my wife. And it takes like a half hour to go over the rules. And it's just because there's so much going on in that game. But like, once it gets going and you understand the rules, it's like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah, like, I think we played like what games like an hour.
Yeah, roughly, and we played like three of them.
Yeah, we played three and kind of explained it from like 8 to almost midnight. So
yeah, it definitely, as long as you have, I think, one person playing that knows what they're doing, it's perfect. Because because the whole point of the game, Chris, you weren't there, you didn't play, but think of it as Risk,
but everyone's on the same team. So, like, you have a hand of cards, but you can show everyone. And, like, when I explain that to my wife...
So you're trying to prevent an outbreak?
Yes. You're trying to cure 4 outbreaks. Or not even outbreaks. They're not outbreaks
4 yet. 4 separate instances, yeah.
And there are outbreaks that happen. And
not eradicate them.
Yes, yes. Just cure. Yes. Yeah. Which means we won that last game.
Yeah. We thought... So there's this whole thing. We don't have to explain it, but... And anyway, long story short... We thought the game was like borderline, I think, impossible because it's limited by like the amount of turns you have. Like after like 26 turns, like as in like each time it hits a person is like a different turn. So yeah. Anyway, long story short, it's not that hard to win, but it is the hard. You do have to kind of figure it out.
Well, we're playing it on the easiest level.
Right. Yeah. You can make it harder too, which is really nice. I do like that, that it's like a different experience every time. All right. So based on that, any other recommendations or thoughts? I'll take that as a no.
No.
All right. Well, if you like our podcasts, you can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. I hope everyone's enjoying this pandemic. It's social distancing. Please practice it. And stay as positive as you can.
I wouldn't say enjoying.
No, it's not fun.
Stay safe. Be smart. Watch some shit. We'll get through it.
Bye.
Bye.